Hello, Rob Lightman. Hello, everyone. We got together writers from Kabbalah Lam, and we would like to have our weekly talk, and we have several questions that we have prepared about current events and get answers so that with that we can go out and write about it and disseminate them. First of all, just to inform that since the corona crisis and since we have started publicizing our content, there's a lot of good response. Many people read this content, respond to it, understand us, like what we say, what we have to say from the public, from the general public. And it's very important to tell this to you because they're really grateful for everything that you're doing. So it was very important for me to let you know that people are really grateful for what you're doing. And we're talking about the 99 people, not necessarily from our circles. And the first question about Israel and Wait. Do I have to record this, or is it... No, it's already recorded, and it's broadcasted, and it's going to go to the archive. So I'd like to ask about what's going on in Israel. If we thought that finally we'll unite here in Israel, and maybe the corona will come and force us to come together and to do things together like it usually happens at times of distress, we see that everything is actually becoming more politicized. There are fights between camps, and there are even those that talk about world conspirations. I'm not expecting for a political answer from you, but from the point of view of Kabbalah, when will we reach unity? We are last in line. According to our desire, we are last, the last to want unity. If you want for me to, you know, open each such message, but it's okay, but it says that if a certain nation has the evil inclination, it's Israel. If there are stubborn people, then that's Israel, and so on and so forth. And you can find plenty of support, supporting writings about it and the Torah, what Kabbalists say. We are the most difficult people, least prepared for connection, unity, and so on. If you look at the Israeli government, and again, I'm not asking politically wise, but if you look at the Israeli government, you expect them in times of crisis to get together, unite, and you see that, no, it's not connection. They're simply capable. They're capable of being organized this way because they're used to times of war and not because they can connect. Getting quickly organized in times of danger, yes, because we're ready, set for it. And we're experienced in this. Okay, next question. Meaning, it doesn't say that we are headed toward connection in any way, in any section, in any cut of the populace of our society. Please. Next question. Italy admits that the number of people that have been infected is 10 times larger than the actual numbers, and it's going to continue until the next winter, and that it's very contagious. It's much quicker than we think. What do you think about all these things? I know that this virus makes no selection, doesn't distinguish between these and those, but that really? It's a virus? And therefore, we will see what population keeps itself, protects itself, and what doesn't. This is all in all what it's about, from what I understand, according to how the Americans, according to what they're doing and what the Chinese people did, then we will see where are we between the Chinese and the Italians all in all. Our situation, I wouldn't say that it's bad, but it's not that good either. We don't know how to correctly guard ourselves, keep ourselves, protect ourselves from the virus. Do you also look into the future and see a grim forecast that we're headed towards something bad? I can't say, but according to the behavior of certain populations, I see both among the ultra-Orthodox Jews and also the secular Jews, among these and among those, I see that they're big, large groups that really are putting themselves in danger for nothing. How is it possible to prevent this, to stop this? It is impossible. I don't see that a country, the government has a strong body that can explain these things, that has authority, like educators, for example. Like educators in some groups that you have children that don't listen, that can't. So you have different educators that come to them with a stick, with punishments, with different things, and then they arrange these things. We have to succeed in isolating ourselves from viruses in a very short period of time because it's dangerous and it's spreading virally in all directions. I want to present an opposite opinion. China is starting to gradually recover from the corona. And we see that everything's falling into place. Falling into place after what? After they made tremendous efforts, if each got 1 liter of spirit, of clean, pure alcohol, and anyone who came out into the street and cleaned himself, and you have no idea what's going on. Chinese people are Chinese people. Also in Germany, eventually, things are going to be okay in certain populations. And there were also those that, you know, it's going to be like here in Israel. No, the Chinese, they're making it because they're obedient. So you're saying that the secret is obedience and keeping the laws, yes and only. Norma, would you like to add, ask? Norma. What stands in the way of people, the greatest concern is that they don't exactly know when is it going to end. It doesn't matter. When will it end, miss? It doesn't matter. Is it clear or is it not clear to me? It's not important. How long will it take? All of these conditions, these are excuses. But someone from above says that you have to guard, keep things one way or another because you're also endangering others. And that's it. I have to keep things. I have to guard it the way I have to. Another question. I don't understand. You see the way I'm trying to do things. I went into my room, and in my room, I'm in my room all the time. And if I leave my room because I have to, then I I pass another person at least 2 meters away, and you think that it's easy or not, pleasant or not, doesn't matter. There are laws that are written laws for the general public, for the nation. And I learned this from Rabash, that he accepted these laws as coming from above. So if the nation is told that this is what they have to do, you know, back then it was Shimon Peres, Rabash really disliked him. But he said so, that's it, we're doing it, we have to. In the Jewish world, many came out in fest in order to chase the corona away. Can this bring change? Look, there are many actions in the world that people can do that have nothing to do with spirituality. But once many people are starting to use it, then it has a certain spiritual force, small, tiny. But still, there is, because many people want and believe and get organized accordingly. By this, they can't really change things, but still, somehow it makes some kind of effect. The prayer of many, things like that, they work because it is the desire of the masses. But again, it's not like, suppose we do it with the intention of adding our desire in order to reach, in order to bestow to the Creator. It's a completely different level, but still, it's impossible to completely erase the general desire of the public, even though that they're not organized and they don't know how, and that he's completely egoistic, regardless of what's happening, regardless of the Creator, without the inclination to give contentment. But still, it works. People are starting to feel the positive sides of the quarantine, reuniting with a family, the beauty of ecology that's restoring itself, the calm, the quiet. But nature led us to all of this, saying, please, this is what you have to do. Imposed it on us, whether we like it or not. The question is, how do we continue from here? It's like nature is choosing for us. From this point on, what are we supposed to do? Sorry, I don't understand. Again, it seems that people are already starting to enjoy the state of isolation, to see the good things about the coronavirus, that ecology is starting to restore itself, that we can be with the family, that everything's calming down. And what next? Because it seems that up until now, it was nature that's forcing us to do everything. How do we advance from here and on? Really, we have reached, in our human development, we have reached a state where we can really allow ourselves not to work for 10 hours a day like we did before. What for? In order to litter the planet, the ocean, the air, to pollute everything, to litter everywhere. Of course, this is not what we're living, what we exist for. We have to make a very precise calculation of what do we need in order to have a good, calm life everyone should have so and so much, to make a general human calculation for everyone and more or less on an equal level. If we will ever be able to do this, of course, we will reach a good life, and I hope that that is how it's going to be. And if not, then instead of the corona, will come another virus. By the way, there are many modifications of the corona that have not appeared yet. About the modifications of the corona and so on, we see that it's changing very rapidly. There's a research held in Iceland that's talking about more than 30 mutations. They found in the same person two mutations of the same virus, each with a different level of violence. Meaning people are really starting to understand that this virus is here to stay. Yeah. It will stay with us, and we will suffer from it. Now, Norma and I, we had a talk with friends from Italy and Spain in order to get an impression of what's going on there, being in quarantine and so on. And if you go out, you're really afraid of being infected. And there, the rate of death is far higher than here in Israel. And they're very hard feelings. People, on the one hand, live in fear of going out. And on the other hand, staying at home makes things claustrophobic. Families feel pressure, don't know how to cope, how to deal with this long stay at home. People that aren't too mentally stable can really go crazy. And in addition, there is also a problem of general mistrust toward the government. They don't know whether to listen to the instructions or not, what are the interests standing behind it, and so on. And therefore, it's not really clear what to offer them in order to deal with it as people, or what to offer the government, how to deal with things in order for things not to fall apart. First of all, like you're saying, we have to explain that this virus is a directed blow, and that we have brought it upon ourselves, and that it has to do with our incorrect development, especially in the relationships between people, because really, it doesn't harm anything. It doesn't harm food, it doesn't harm the air or water or anything. It only hits people, our biology. I also didn't really hear that it hits animals. Domestic animals? I don't think so. Maybe also there are such types of people that it hits them less, hits them more. This is something that we have to find out. It's not that important, but this virus is with us. We have to understand. I don't think that we will that easily be able to find the remedy, that we will be able to get rid of this virus, so we'll have a different virus, the corona 17, 18, 19, doesn't matter. But we have to explain, therefore, that the only remedy is for us to be connected, because in our connection, and it's no wonder, but it's not a miracle or anything, but by our connection, we awaken the positive force of nature, and this is the force that fumes everything, that really sterilizes everything on all levels, because there's nothing there in order to receive, but only in order to bestow. And therefore, that way, we really protect ourselves from any virus or anything else. And therefore, this is what we have to explain. How does the connection between us sterilize everything? Problem to explain this. But we will have to somehow explain more and more about the entire plan of creation, about the generality of things, that we're all egoists, and that's how we were created. And the Creator gave us this kind of nature, that precisely above it will we be able to connect with each other. And then all of us will have a different, better life. And if not, then the general force of nature will teach us in a bad way, through suffering. Let's see how we behave, what's missing, and so on. Our problem is that we are not relating any control, any thought, any desire to nature, any plan. And we think that, you know, you can do whatever you want. We're the only smart ones. And if we'll think differently, that it's not we that are the smart ones, but it's nature that's smart, that it has created us and not we that have created ourselves and it. Therefore, we have no choice, but we have to accept nature as something superior, as the superior, and see what is the demand of us in nature, which is the superior and general, and we exist in it. We have to keep its law, and its law is connection between all of its parts, like cells in a body, and it's an integral law that determines what we have to do. If we keep this general law, things are going to be good. If we don't, it won't. Our entire problem is that, like little children, we want to exclude ourselves from the system of nature, and immediately we're harmed. I'm asking on part of the Israelit project. At the time, we're really protecting our grandparents and in general the elderly people, meaning that they stopped visiting their grandchildren, seeing their, you know, giving, cooking, making, helping, and it all stopped and it kind of makes them depressed. So what can we do? What can we tell them? It's true. Even more than what they want to give to their grandchildren and grand-grandchildren, it's even more than they need our help, because that they can take care of their grandchildren and grand-grandchildren. For them, it's the remedy that this is what they live for, and they have a continuity in life. And here we really have to see how do we arrange these things. I know also in my family, because my grandchildren, they can walk around practically everywhere. But it also has to do with this specific virus. Now there are different modifications. We don't know. Will it be the same to our children, younger and older? Maybe there will be changes. But in the meantime, what we have is that it's really so, and we have no choice. We have to make sure that this virus will not pass from children onto older people, old people. But what can we write to those women that are sitting at home feeling the sadness of not being able to go out, meet their loved ones? You can arrange a screen for them. Just like now, we see each other. I haven't seen you for a week, and now I'm very happy to see you and to talk to you. So at least this way. Make online conversations for them, and this will really be a present. And besides, by the way, we need to more and more use this ability of being able to be connected through the screens. And then we'll have no claustrophobia and all the different problems that come with isolation. I'd like to ask, it's very clear that the upcoming Pesach Eve, we're going to have at home, all of Israel are going to sit at home. It's no longer called Leil HaSeder, Passover Eve, but Leil HaSeger, the isolation evening. The truth is that this is how it was. In the past, this is how it was, that you used to sit at home with your relatives, but in general, yeah, by principle, it's with your family. Why so? Why not sit the extended family with everyone? People are missing that. I understand, but, well, in the past, the family, you know, they lived all together, the grandparents and their children and grandchildren, and everyone lived in one place, and so they got together, like in a village, suppose. I don't know, you can still do it in such places where, I don't know, maybe they'll keep 2 meters distance from one another. It's kind of hard, but again, I think that now there is a period that we have to overcome through the screens. I see you now very well, each and every one of you. I see your faces full size. I have a screen 2.5 meters. I have about a 2.5 meter screen, so, and 2 more screens. I really see all of you very well. Don't you miss the physical connection? To sit with people? Virtual is enough, that's it. We've entered a world where we can be, that it's enough for us. I'm sure that there is no difference in this regard, because where do I see you? I see you in my mind, the way you're depicted in my mind. And what? So it's in my mind. So here too, I have a camera, and it's shooting and turning all of these things, and there I can see you. So here there's another camera on the way. No problem. I'm not paying attention to the external form. I have it, you know, a bit, but in general, I don't really need it. What do I care that I can see your face now or not? There's no difference between the physical and the virtual? No. You don't even need virtual. It's something that you gradually come to. We gradually come to what? Like Rabash writes, that my friends are standing in my heart. And then, excellent. May it be so. When you're saying my friends are standing in my heart, what I'll see, like I see this screen now with the faces, I'll feel it inside myself. I feel them inside myself. Why do I have to see them? A mother also feels her child when he's not next to her, but she does want him next to her to hug him. That's something else, to hug, to feel, that's a mother. That he came out of her, that she gave birth to him. She always has a kind of frustration that he's not inside of her. That's something else. Something corporeal. I'd say on the animal level. But for us, there's no need to be, like Rabash says, even thousands of miles separating between us. I don't feel that they separate us. So I feel them inside of myself, and I myself remain isolated and quarantined. You don't feel that you're isolated. You don't feel that you're isolated. You are as you are. Still, there is an interaction between people that... No, Dudi. It's all for the time, for now. We'll get used to this, and you'll see that you won't... This is something that you will not be lacking, being in the same place. I think that this is the first time in history that the Passover Eve will be virtual. The entire Jewish people will be in the same situation. What should be the character? You explained this now, but how can we get the maximum out of this, the Jewish people, that it's the first time that everyone's in the same situation? I don't understand. What do you need on Passover Eve? Chicken and a boiled egg and lettuce and what else? All these signs. Two matzahs. What do you need? And everything else. You see your relatives on the screen and you're in touch with them. You say l'chaim and everything. What's the big deal? We have to finally understand where the changes have to be. They have to be internal, inside my heart. And not that we regret not being in one place. Why is it important to be in the same place? We have to feel them on the inside. How are they close? Because they're near, physically. I'm actually talking about the internality and not about all the seder elements. I'm talking about the connection that has to be in the nation that got from above precisely this opportunity of being together, all the Jewish people. How were we in? How were we all in one seder? There was some person that made the seder for everyone, that hosted this event for everyone. Everyone sat at one table. What? I don't understand. Let's go together with all of these changes and feel that what the corona presents us with, it presents it correctly. And that these actions, for these actions to be actions of connection, despite the way in which this virus disconnects us corporeally and forces us to be more spiritually connected. There are many questions here that still it's unclear how to keep the connection in a virtual state, how to feel them on the inside. I want for you to feel me in your heart. I'm standing inside your heart, and you're standing inside my heart. And this way we feel that not only that we're close, but that we are as one, as one, not two. If it won't help, then the corona will come in a more sophisticated modification and it will teach us how to do it, I promise you. Okay, I don't want for that to happen. Why not? I'll be really happy about it. I'll be very happy. The more, the better. Let's go through all of these blows and escape from Egypt. How do we compensate for the, how do we bridge the gap? I still feel that you're sitting somewhere and I'm sitting someplace and we're talking through the internet. I want to feel this in my heart. No, it's a technical habit. Either you hear through your ear or through your earphone. What's the difference? No difference. You really have technical complaints that there's nothing to say about this or talk about. Let's stop arguing, bow our head toward the coronavirus. Let's say that this comes from above in order for us to let go of all of these corporeal things and instead of that bring spiritual things. That we'll be closer, that we'll better feel each other. We can shift to a level where we are all as one. What's the point in seeing you a few meters away, sitting at the same table? I'll feel you on the inside. That's more important. That's more real. As one man and one heart. Otherwise, we can't come out of Egypt. The coronavirus on Passover wants to show us in what conditions do we come out of Egypt. It's not that it's happening now by chance.
Who is that?
Shelly.
No.
Can I ask? Who is it? Shelly. Okay. The virtual connection is creating some kind of a more sterile connection, something cleaner, less threatening. The question is how to use this new feeling in order to really deepen the inner connection as if to transcend this feeling due to the virtual connection. This is on condition that we really want to come closer to each other. It's as if the virus is coming and saying, move away from each other. Meaning what? The virus is saying, I'm erasing from you the distance of hate. Now, instead of this, bring a connection of love, of connection, of mutual consideration. Look what it does. It's a wonder. It's a trustworthy friend. It's the Creator is sending this to us out of love.
No.
I wanted to ask, people are sitting at home, really feeling anxiety and so on. One of the ways that people compensate for this is usually with the help of a hug, connection, looking into each other's eyes, a grandmother that hugs her grandchild, and so on. How do you compensate for these things virtually? I understand that the connection between us is a bodily connection, a primitive kind of connection, that if I touch something like a little child, it means that I've touched it, I've acquired, absorbed it. We have to stop with all of these things and move to a more spiritual kind of connection according to equivalence of form, equivalence of qualities. This is what's supposed to be. And so let's explain this to ourselves and also explain this to our readers, to the entire population, that this coronavirus is very smart. Very smart. That it is limiting our corporeal connection, bodily connection, in order for us to shift to a more inner kind of connection. Not corporeal, but emotional, more emotional, even spiritual. This is what we need. And Corona, this is what it forces us to do. I'm really grateful to this blow. I see it as a remedy and not as a blow. Like he says in the article, that it is a remedy and not a blow. About the spiritual connection, I think that this clear, this is something that we are able to deal with and that we're doing it pretty well. But a grandma and her grandchild, what connection can there be between them? They're used to hugging each other. What would they do now? They can talk the same language through the different devices, and also to insert into that the same measure of emotional connection that they had before. Bodily connecting and the bodily connection. It is possible. Furthermore, I believe that all of these conditions that the coronavirus is bringing us, these are conditions that are only for the sake of our spiritual advancement. About employment, what we see now on the net is that plenty of people, they are either trying to sell things online to, you know, really go online, start working through the net, or they're waiting for the day that everything will come to an end, that they can go back to their normal work, something that they can't do now. And you're talking about a change that is not sure that people will go back to their normal work. Do they have to prepare themselves? What are we preparing ourselves for? Different kind of... Not we, miss, not we, but you and the others, you have to teach them that life will not go back to how it was. It will not go back to how it was. First of all, the changes, there will be more and more changes. It won't end from one week to the next. There will be changes, and the changes will start in half a year, and the changes won't be such that people will run, go shopping again, and, I don't know, buy new dresses, and go to restaurants, and so on, and fly someplace. It will not be that way anymore. This world will need to come out of this coronavirus drained, that all of the garbage, like after you wash the floor and you take the water out of, you squeeze out the dirty water, the very same way the coronavirus will squeeze all those turbid things out of us and we'll be able to start a new life, continue with a new life. If not, then I promise you a new modification of the virus, which will be worse and worse. In the meantime, this is the lightest possible thing. And I'm warning you that the problem is you. You have to explain to mankind what's going on. And if you will not be able to explain, then you will suffer more than everyone else. Not that it will come to the elderly and so on, but it will come to us. Like Bala Sulam says, that it starts with the best ones, because the best ones, they are the ones that were supposed to do this, and they didn't. And so all the problems come to them. So nature shoots the messenger. Nature, of course, relates to everyone in a certain way, of course. If you are responsible for passing this knowledge to millions of people and you didn't do it, why should they suffer? First of all, you should suffer in order to learn how to pass this method on to them, to teach them, to give them an example, set an example. How can I measure that I did what I had to do? This is your work. You simply have to know that this is how you are, that nature will have to teach you, and it has means of its own kind. We see that the response that most of the world has for the coronavirus is putting the population in quarantine. Yeah, what can they do? This is the situation that nature put us in. Maybe against that, the U.S. president said that the U.S. is not built for it, and in 2 weeks about he'll open this quarantine, lift it, and will allow trade, and the elderly will have to sacrifice themselves for the sake of economy and so on. He should show an example. The question is, how should the nation behave in this situation? What to choose? What is the correct behavior in this state where there is control from above that says quarantine, or a different kind of control that says, no, we're going to back to normal soon, and what will happen will happen. First of all, he can't force people to go out, especially the elderly, because the elderly now see and understand that it's forbidden for them to be in dangerous places where they can catch the virus. So they can keep protecting themselves. He'll just say one thing. Everyone up to the age of 50 can go and continue his life. Anyone who's over 50 or over 60, according to their statistics, then for him it's dangerous and preferably he should stay at home. And then he'll work from home, do things from home, and so on. And so what? By this, he doesn't push them into danger. He only allows the others that aren't exactly related to the danger of the virus to go out and work and do what they have to. I'm not sure that they'll do rash things there. No. Well, that's what he says. Trump has lots of experience appearing on TV, in the movies, in business. He knows how to do the job. I trust his cunningness. To continue Chaim's question, the approach of the U.S. government is that maybe the remedy is worse than the disease itself. If, shutting off the entire economy. And also on the news, I saw people asking, will it not cause greater harm to shut the economy completely off, and also depression and suicide? And the question is, someone that's sitting at home, how to really understand what's the right thing to do? Understand that life is the most important thing, so why is it not clear to people? Look, again, he's not forcing people to go out. He's only saying, and I think that it will be restricted by age, that up to the age of 50 or 60, you can go out, and usually we don't see any special danger in this regard. Whereas above the age of 60, it's forbidden. We do not recommend to go out. And that's how it's going to be. And then everyone will go to their offices and things. And those that are really old should sit at home. So what? Nothing will happen. They can't yield the virus this way. You're asking as if it's possible to influence the virus this way. This way you can only influence the population. He wants to bring a part of the population that's not so problematic in relation to this virus. He wants to bring them back to their places of work. And then, of course, the elderly, they will have to protect themselves better. So, some will die. The question is, if in such a case, should society have special services for those people that are sitting at home, open special supermarkets for them, or... I'm not getting into all of these little things. Sure, we have to take care of these things have to be taken care of, and we won't start arguing about what's good, what's not, and what has to be done, of course. But these are little things that we will solve along the way. Anyone wants to ask? Okay, last question then. We see that a world crisis demands a world response. What is the role of the UN and the rest of the international organizations? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. What is the role of each and every government? A parliament member here receives 45,000 shekels a month. You think he cares whether there's corona or not? He's not concerned like that self, tiny self-employed person who had a kiosk or something, and now he's left without, you know, livelihood. They don't care about nothing. I'm asking, should there be some kind of a world organization like the UN? They're getting paid and it's regardless of anything. What are you talking about? The UN, UNESCO, the different international organizations, they're well off. They have no problem. The UN ceased to work. Of course. What do they have to say? Corporeally wise, it's they're to blame. The UN, UNESCO. Where is UNESCO? Where do you see that they're declaring? Okay, let's make respiratory machines. Nothing. These are organizations that are unnecessary. Besides the blah blah blah. You don't need them. These are places where diplomats can philosophize about stuff without any result. No result. So that's how it is. It's good that the U.S. is moving away from that. Israel is moving away from that. There's no need for it. We see that the Israeli political system is falling apart due to the corona. Will democracies fall apart in the world? There is an expectancy of the falling apart of all governments in the world. I wouldn't say democracies. Democracy is an obscene word. Don't present it because to begin with, the meaning is the rule of the people. Where do you see that? No such thing. But everyone twists and turns all of these definitions in whatever direction that they feel convenient about. I really hope that the entire world will reach its collapse. I'll only be happy about it. I'll raise a big l'chaim for the general tomb of all of those governments and laws and democracies that brought mankind to real, to what they brought mankind to, and the destruction that they brought the planet to. And I really hope that we will be able to continue building a different kind of life, a good life. And this is how we'll advance. About Chaim's question, in relation to Trump, will he be able to restore the economy? You don't have to bring economy to what it was, but you have to build a new economy all over the world, in all countries. Our economy does not suit nature. It's not adjusted to nature. It's based on a destructive force that we destroy nature without taking the tomorrow into consideration. Tell me, if the planet was your country, like your family, like your backyard, would you treat it the way that we treat our planet? That you're destroying everything, depleting it, you're really... you're really having a garage sale here. This is what you're doing with the planet. Would you relate to your things this way? There's no boss. The world has no boss. Are these the governments? These aren't governments. These are really criminal organizations, I'd say, the way they treat the planet. Criminal organizations. Asaf Ochayon is asking, so Trump's attempt to bring people back to work, do you see it as something that is, of course it's negative, of course. But he, as president, and according to what he understands, he has no choice. But were you to put me there? First of all, it's a problem. What can be done in such a machine like the United States or in general in the world? But not that I would bring things back to how they were. By that, we will invite a much stronger blow from nature. You forgot that we talked about this. We've been talking about this for several years, that we are headed toward a world war. And probably this is how it is. So you want to bring yourselves back to this kind of state. This is what you want to bring yourselves back to. Enough. We have to think about the future. Final question. We got questions from Yonifsi and David Chayal, and they sent us an excerpt. Maybe we can read it. Rabash, letter number 8. And after I have already attained the clothing of love, immediately sparks of love start rising in me, and the heart starts longing and uniting, and my friends, and I think that my eyes see my friends, and my ears hear their voice, my mouth talks to them, the hands they hug, and the legs they dance in joy with them in a circle. And I come out of my corporeal boundaries, and I forget that there is a vast distance between myself and the friends, and the few, and the distance separating between us shall not separate us, but as if the friends are standing inside my heart, seeing everything that goes on there, and I'm ashamed. I feel ashamed of the petty things that I do for the friends, and I come out of my corporeal vessels, and it seems as though there is no reality besides the friends, only I and the friends, and afterwards, even the I dissolves and is integrated in the friends until I declare that the only reality that exists in the world are the friends. Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman, to all of our friends, and see you next time. All the best.